Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. We're also brought to you by the SGPN Thanksgiving Free Roll. Everybody who hits a football bingo in our contest will win $100 cash and a $100 gift card to the SGPN store exclusively on the SGPN app.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to another action-packed adventure that we call the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 247 is going to go out to the PFL, because the Professional Fighters League. I think that's what it is, Professional Fighters? Yeah, that sounds right. Because they are giving us something to talk about this week with no UFC. They wisely are running their massive end-of-year show where all the champions get crowned and everyone gets $1 million if they win a championship. And it's smart. Like, it's something that we say Bellator should always do, is run when the UFC is not running. So that part of it's smart. The fact that it's on pay-per-view, and for the law-abiding citizens of the world, will have to pay $50 minimum to watch it. If they're above doing a little white-collar crime, then that's a negative. Plus, I guess it's probably a negative for fighters. The fact that they have to cut weight and weigh in on Thanksgiving Day probably isn't the greatest thing for them. But then again, after they cut the weight and weigh in, they can have a Thanksgiving feast, and then everyone will be 50 pounds heavier when they step in the cage on Friday. But anyhow, that's my long-winded introduction. So this goes out to the PFL, and I am one of your hosts of this here podcast, Jeff Chalks Fox. This episode, we're going to break down all the non-title fights on the card. So we've got five prelim fights and then a women's feature fight that is on the main card that is not for a title. And then tomorrow, we're going to get you six breakdowns, all six title fights. And of course, the man doing the majority of the breaking down. Well, I give you the stats. He gives you who your hard-earned money should go on. It's the man of the hour, the one and only Daniel Gumby Freeland. Hello.
Yeah, so I do give the breakdowns for a lot of them, but I was thinking when I was looking at this card, you probably know enough of these people that you could.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, like I mean, how many times have we talked about the Swedish Denzel Washington, who we'll talk about tomorrow? Or, you know, it's not like you haven't seen 10 Stevie Ray fights, or I mean, like, you know who Kayla Harrison and Bubba Jenkins are. So, like, yeah, like, you've kind of gotten to the point where you could probably lay wager on more than one of these.
I have watched, I guess, every PFL this season too. So, all right, maybe I'll throw my picks in too. How about, I haven't really given it too much thought, but maybe I'll make some picks too. What do you say on that?
On the fly picks?
Sure.
Look at this.
Why
guy.
Not? Why oh, not?
Wow.
The opener is going to be hard since we've got a 1-1 fighter versus an 0-0 fighter. But I'll go if in doubt, go chalk, right?
And I would also point out to you, so it is a 1-1 fighter. It is a 1-1 amateur fighter too, I would add.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he is yet to turn pro. And I think this fight is at as an amateur fight?
Oh, it's an amateur fight. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Yep. It is an amateur fight. So neither of these two have turned pro, and neither of these two will turn pro yet, which is, by the way, just wild to throw on a card of this size.
Yes. And it's wild for us to be betting on it also. You know? Amateur MMA.
So that is somewhat wild, but I will give you the lowdown on why it is probably going to be pretty one-sided.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so it's going to be wild when I beat you, too, with my picks.
We'll call him Jeff God or yeah. Fox God if you do so.
Yeah, fine. See, it doesn't have quite the ring to it, so we may have to come up with something better. Okay, let's jump into this things. These things before that, though, I'm going to tell you about WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. As I said before, if you don't live in one of those states, it's time to move. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Your WinBet Win Hour marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet 100, win 800. Dolleros. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. So they know we sent you. That is sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay. PFL time. Make sure everyone goes and purchases a pay-per-view right now so you don't miss any of these exciting fights. PFL 10 is the event. 2022 championships. Friday, November 25th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern is when the prelims start. I also see 6 Eastern, so maybe to be safe, start watching at 5:30, but it could be 6 p.m. I have two different sources, have two different times, and prelims are on ESPN+. The main card, which we'll talk about on tomorrow's pod, is 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN pay-per-view. And I think that is the case up here, too. I don't think TSN is running it in Canada, sadly. So we will start off, as we mentioned already, we're very excited to talk about an amateur fight, apparently. Lightweights, Biagio Ali Walsh versus Tom Grasser, or Grasser. I'm sure Dan knows somehow, right?
It's Grasser, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, Grasser is 0-0. This is his debut of any kind, I think.
I can actually clarify that. While it's not on Tapology, he has fought amateur one time.
How do you know this?
He's 1-0 with an armbar finish.
How do you know this?
I just know things.
Plus 285. Walsh, 1-1 with one knockout. He's been submitted once. He did win his last fight. This is his PFL debut. Obviously, it's Grasser's debut as well. Minus 350. Give me chalk. I don't know anything about these guys, but I'll take minus 350.
Yeah, so I would say, first of all, so Grasser has fought one time as an amateur. I did get some like grainy footage of it that I was able to watch. He badly got outmatched on the feet and wound up on his back after being kind of like stumbled and then taken down. And then off of his back, he scored an armbar after eating a whole bunch of punches. So obviously not really a great start to his fighting career. And this is one of those setup fights where you got an organization, a young organization, who very clearly likes a prospect and wants to lock them up before anybody else gets them. We've seen that time and time again with Bellator. That's 100% what PFL is doing here. Biagio Ali Walsh is the grandson of Muhammad Ali, which is why they're all over the idea of him possibly being good. He does have like a little bit more of a boxing background than you would see on the other ones. But because I haven't seen very good like takedowns or anything out of Grasser, I don't really think he's all that much of a threat. I do know he trains with Kat Zingano's team. I don't think that's enough for me to just say like, oh yeah, suddenly he will have a whole bunch of takedowns that will take down this guy who's more talented boxing. So yeah, I'm gonna say give me Ali Walsh as well.
Perhaps I should have known he was Muhammad Ali's grandson, but he looks nothing like him and he's from Montana. So how am I supposed to guess these things without Googling? All right. hopefully these women aren't related to anyone famous, because I don't have any stats or any info on that. Women's flyweights, Dakota Dicheva versus Catherine Corojeans.
I actually don't know this one, so I'm going to let
you know. Corojeans. Corojeans.
Corojeanis,
maybe, yeah. She's 2-0, one knockout, one submission, so she finished all her fights. This is her PFL debut, plus 295. That's all I got for her. Dicheva, she's dangerous. I know that. She's 6-0 with four knockouts, one submission. 1-0 in PFL via knockout, TKO, actually. 10-1 as a pro kickboxer. Was also a three-time world champion in Muay Thai. 9 years younger. Inch of height, 5 inches of reach on Corojeanis, minus 350. Obviously, I'm going chalk here with a resume like that.
Yeah, and again, another one where they're just trying to highlight a prospect. She's 6-0. They're giving her somebody 2-0 who they've largely never heard of. I've largely never heard of. I think there are some things about Dicheva that I'm not super thrilled about. But I love the move to American Top Team, because she used to be in England at Manchester Top Team. She now, I think, more often trains at American Top Team. Seems to be doing her some good. That knee KO last PFL, because she had a knee to the liver that she scored last time, was arguably against a better opponent than she's fighting this time. Hasna Grabber was a little bit better than who she's fighting this time. So, I'll go with Dicheva as well.
Dinosaurs on the loose again?
Yeah, you hear the dinosaurs upstairs?
They ate one of your but they're at least trying to eat one of your children, it sounds like.
Yeah. Dear. They'll be all right.
Oh, fine. It's just a flesh wound. Okay. Welterweights. Magomed Kerimov versus Gleison Tebow. Yes, Gleison Tebow still exists. Tebow is 37-16, four knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out four times, submitted twice. 2-2 in PFL. Lost his last fight. 16-12 in the UFC. He had a drug test failure there. He also missed weight twice when he was fighting at lightweight. 1999 was his pro MMA debut, plus 390 on him. Magomed Kerimov, 30-6, 11 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted three times. He's won 14 of his last 15 fights, won his last fight via TKO. He's 11-1 in PFL. He was a 2021 PFL finalist and 2018 champion. He was 1-0 in World Series of Fighting as well. Used to fight up at middleweight. 2008 was his pro debut, 7 years younger. 3 inches of height, 3 inches of reach on Tebow, minus 400. Obviously, Magomed Kerimov is the slam dunk pick here. This is a bit of a mismatch, so give me him.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's a slam dunk pick, because Gleison Tebow has a way of making every fight look like it's kind of close, even when it's not kind of close.
Even with Habib, that's true.
Yeah, even with Habib, or, you know, like, there's been a lot of weird decisions for him in PFL. In fact, like, I think one of his PFL fights that I watched, he should have lost, and he won. And then immediately after that, he should have won one, and they didn't give him the decision. Just, like, weirdness all the time with Gleison Tebow. But I will say this, like, you know, when you look at who he's beating and who he's not beating, he largely beats people who he can grapple up. Right. Like Zeferino, for instance, is a guy who he could kind of just like put up against the cage and take down and avoid submissions. And he beat them. But like if he can't out grapple you, he seems to have like no real path to victory. Like that's clearly what happened with El Sawai. Although, again, I think possibly he won that fight. So with all that being said, yeah, Magomed Kerimov is not a guy he's going to be able to grapple. So, yeah, give me Magomed Kerimov. We'll stay chalky here.
We have to be like Munaf the Machine and take all the Ovs. Anyone with last name Ov, you got to bet. Like Munaf in the Discord.
I might be going against that later on.
Oh, we shall have to wait and see then. All right. There's another Ov coming up, is there? Maybe on tomorrow's show, perhaps. Who should we move on to now? Let's move on to lightweights. Nathan Schultz versus Jeremy Stevens. Maybe you've heard of him. Lil Heathen. Jeremy Stevens, 29-20 with 1-0 contest, 19 knockouts, 2 submissions, but knocked out 3 times, submitted 4 times, 1-1 in PFL. He's gone 1-6 with 1-0 contest over his last 8 fights. However, he did win his last fight. He went 15-18 with 1-0 contest in the UFC. Used to fight at featherweight, missed weight twice that weight. 2005 was his pro debut in MMA. He's got 2 inches of reach on Schultz, plus 330. Nathan Schultz, nicknamed Russo. Why?
No idea.
Okay. Get to the bottom of that because it's an interesting nickname. 22-5-1, 4 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 11-2-1 in the PFL. Very solid record there. Over his last 4 fights, he's gone loss, win, loss, win. So he did win his last fight. He's 2018 and 2019 finalist at PFL Championship. So very close to the $1 million twice. 0-1 in World Series of Fighting. 2011 was his pro MMA debut. Boxing stats in his favor. Is on his resume as a pro boxer. 6 years younger than Stevens, an inch taller, minus 390. You know me, I got to take chalk here again, but there's no reason not to.
Yeah, I've been chalky on this card so far too, and probably a lot more chalky than I usually am. But yeah, in this case, Schulte's a guy who's shown that he's pretty damn good everywhere. Like, I like his submission skills. I like how hard he hits. Like, he's had some really great fights. He beat the hell out of Marcin Held in that fight. He's shown he can stuff takedowns. He's shown he can submit people when he gets them down. I just have a tough time imagining that Jeremy Stevens has anything for him, because in fact, like, Schulte went to a very close decision. I think it was a split with Olivier Aubin-Mercier. And like, if you can do that with OAM at this point in time in OAM's career, you can definitely do it with Jeremy Stevens at this point in Jeremy Stevens' career, because he's definitely past his prime, not the same guy anymore. This will be his 50th fight, and I think he's just going to get steamrolled.
If you can handle a Canadian gangster, Dan, then you can handle a little heathen, right?
That's, yeah. You know those Canadian gangsters.
Yes. Okay, more on the Canadian gangster on tomorrow's podcast. But what I want to tell you about now is our Thanksgiving free roll. If you like Super Bowl squares, who doesn't? You're going to love what we have for the DeGens on Thanksgiving. Our friends at Play Action Pools have set us up with a football bingo contest for Thursday's slate. It's simple to join and free to play in the SGPN app. Once you enter, you'll see your unique bingo card on your screen. Whenever a touchdown is scored on Thursday, check your card to see if you have that player. If you do, check the box. If you get bingo, you'll win $100 cash and $100 SGPN gift card, all coming out of Gumby's pocket. So make sure you get into the SGPN app and get going with that. Okay. It's household names in the next couple of fights, I would have to say, Dan, right?
By my definition, absolutely.
Definitely. But I think by almost any definition. So the main event of the prelims are featherweights Marlon Moraes versus Shaman Moraes. This originally was going to be Shane Burgos. So Moraes is taking this on short. How long notice? Do you remember?
It's a couple weeks, I think, for okay. Shaman.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot to mark that down. So we'll tell you about Marlon of the Moraes. First, Magic Marlon. 23-10-1, 10 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 7 times, submitted twice. This is his debut. I wrote down kinda, because he did fight in World Series of Fighting before they changed their brand to PFL. He has lost 4 straight fights. He's won 1 of his last 6. All of his losses come via knockout or TKO, all of his last 4 losses. His last win was December of 2019. He was 11-0 in World Series of Fighting and the champion there at bantamweight. This one's up at featherweight. He did fight Shaman Moraes during his reign of terror in World Series of Fighting, August 2015, and submitted him. So this is a rematch. 2007 was his pro debut in MMA. He also is a Muay Thai fighter and a kickboxer, plus 120. Shaman Moraes, 14-6, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. Been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 3-1 over his last 4 fights. However, he did lose his last fight. He's gone 3-2 in the PFL. He went 2-3 in the UFC. He also was in World Series of Fighting, where he went 3-1. As I mentioned, the one loss was to Marlon Moraes. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. He's a Muay Thai and a kickboxing champion. 2 years younger than Marlon, 2 inches taller, 5 inches of reach, minus 140. Marlon Moraes, automatic fade for me, even if he's not fighting a guy with heavy hands like Shaman Moraes. Well, he's got 6 knockouts out of 14 wins, so it's not like he's got pillows for fists, but yeah, Moraes is automatic fade at this point, so give me Shaman.
I'm actually going to go dog in this one. I am going to take Marlon Moraes. Here's why. I hear your point. He's been knocked out a lot of times. And that's super alarming. Corey Sandhagen, Rob Font, Mirab Dvalishvili, Song Yudong, all, you know, sent him to the shadow realm in kind of a vicious way. The last person he beat was Jose Aldo. But I will say this. In that first 3 minutes of that Rob Font fight, looked great. In the first round of the Mirab Dvalishvili fight, looked great. In the first round of the Corey Sandhagen fight, didn't look bad. So, like, he's looked good right up until he was knocked out. So, to my point here, while, you know, the knockouts are cumulative, I can't tell you how many times I've said that on the show, and, like, you can't just say, like, oh, this guy hits less hard, so he's not going to get knocked out. Shane Mirais just doesn't have a style where he, like, headhunts. He works the body a lot. He works the legs a lot. And if he does that here against Marlon Moraes, I actually think Marlon Moraes is a little bit sharper on the feet. As long as he avoids the big concussive blow for the fifth straight fight, I actually think Marlon Moraes is a little bit better of a fighter here than Shaman Moraes is. And I think he's got a submission advantage, too. If, should this somehow wind up in a clinch or something like that, I think he could probably get it done there. I think his wrestling's underrated. He used that a little bit against Corey Sandhagen back. Way back when. So, yeah, give me Marlon Moraes. I think for my dog play here on the prelims, I'll take him.
You just described pretty much every fighter, every washed-up fighter. They look good until they don't, and they're looking up at the legs.
That's not true. Frankie Edgar didn't look good until he got knocked out. He looked bad until he got knocked out,
That's because he's passed. He stayed past the point where he looks good and then gets knocked out. The next stage is you just get, like Chuck Liddell, you just get knocked out immediately. So.
Oh, no. Chuck Liddell looked good right up until the end, though. Here's argument for Chuck Liddell. The Rich Franklin fight... He was winning.
Yeah, but he's fought a lot since then. That's a problem.
Has he fought a lot since then?
No, not a lot. He has fought though since then.
I'm gonna put the intern on that.
No, he's fought. He fought his rival Tito Ortiz. It looked horrible.
Yeah, that one doesn't count.
All right, fine. All right.
We don't count fights that Tito wins.
No, it's true. That's actually a good policy to have. All right, last fight we're gonna have is women's featherweight fight. It's slotted right smack dab in the middle of the main card tomorrow. It is Julia Budd versus Aspen Ladd. I'm going to tell you about Julia Budd first. The Jewel Budd, 16-4, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 1-1 in PFL, lost her last fight. Used to fight at lightweight. 9-1 in Bellator and the champion there. 4-0 in Invicta. 2-2 in Strikeforce. 10-2 in kickboxing. 2 inches height, 4 inches of reach on Aspen Ladd, plus 190. Ladd is 9-3, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once. This is her PFL debut. She's lost 2 straight fights and has only won 1 of her last 4. She used to fight at a bantamweight, had a lot of weight cutting issues, as we know. 4-3 in the UFC, 5-0 in Invicta, 12 years younger than Jewel, minus 220. I guess I got to take Ladd. I really don't have much faith in her, but the age gap is massive. And I think Julia Budd's pretty much done for, even though she is a Canadian. I do have to go against her here. I think her best days are definitely well past her, and I'm going with the younger fighter.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good her best days even were. She beat, if you're going back and looking for her like best wins, like I mean, like you got a Strikeforce Challengers win over Jermaine Durandamy, who was only 2-1 at the time. But apart from that, like, you know, she's beating Marlos Conen after Marlos Conen was like in her prime, like a retirement or Marlos Conen fight. I mean, I guess a split decision win over Arlen Blanco might be a good one, but she beat like Caitlin Young, you know, like at Caitlin Young's advantage, and she got beat up by Jenna Fabian last time. So I see a lot of people out there, and I've seen a lot of posts about it too, fading Aspen Ladd here. And I get it. Aspen Ladd let us down in the UFC by missing weight like 81 times, and she looked lackluster against Norma Dumont, and she didn't look necessarily lackluster against Raquel Pennington, but she looked like she got beat by Raquel Pennington. But like, this is somebody who knocked out Yana Kunitskaya not that long ago. So yeah, like a whole bunch of canceled bouts is obviously like an alarm. But like, if this bout gets canceled, you still get your money back. So if you're going to lay on this one, I think Aspen Ladd is like an easy pick, to be honest with you. I think she's so much more talented than Julia Budd.
Yeah, I looked for reasons to take Budd and fade at Ladd because, you know, with plus money and everything, but I just couldn't find any. So
I was even trying to draw a path to victory for Julia Budd. I was like, maybe she puts her up against the cage, and then I'm like, no, fucking Aspen Ladd's so strong, and like
that's why she has trouble cutting weight. She's big.
She's not And now she doesn't have to cut as much, right? This one's at 45. Yep. So, you know, you could say, I don't know, is Bud going to wear her out? No, it's not going to wear her out. Is she going to take her down? I don't think that's going to happen. So, like, the only path to victory I could draw for Julia Budd was, like, Aspen Ladd comes out and, like, forgets she has to throw punches like she did against Norma Dumont and then loses that way. But, like, she already proved that that was kind of like a weird mental hiccup, and it's behind her in the Raquel Pennington fight, right? She didn't look great in the Raquel Pennington fight, but man, did she look like she was trying to win at least. And I think as long as she tries to win here, she beats Julia Budd.
Yep. Yep. So that concludes the prelims. Pretty solid prelims. Got a lot of
and these games on it. These are free.
It's true. Other than the Budd Ladd fight, that's right. But yeah, the rest are free. So, in conclusion, or recapping, we both have Ladd. Dan has Marlon Moraes. I have Shaman Moraes. Both have Schultz. Both have Magomed Kerimov. Both have Ditcheva. Both have Walsh. So I think I don't want to say easy picks, but I think we had pretty clear winners for each fight. Not saying that they're actually going to come through and win, but on paper, most of the picks were clear. And then Gumby got a little crazy, as he does. So that's the way it goes. That's why you love him.
Yeah, that's why you love me. Also, I will say, PFL always has a way of finding, like, one wild underdog to win on the card. But I think maybe that might come a little bit later on in this one. Ooh, so, yeah, that's a little teaser for tomorrow. Make sure you tune in on your way to go get some turkey.
Exactly. Even though it's a holiday for the Americans, we never rest here. We are going to stick stuff in your ears, and it won't be a turkey. It will be the main card breakdown for PFL. Hopefully you all enjoy it and enjoy this. Oh, I told you when it's happening, but it's also happening in the Hulu Theater in Madison Square Gardens, New York City, New York. So there you go. If you want to go see it, go ahead. What are the tickets for this? Did you check this one, Dan, or no?
I did not check. This was not at a time that was conducive to me going, regardless. Yeah, the day after Thanksgiving, driving into New York City during Black Friday. I think I probably have to pass.
Yep. I think that's probably the right move. So you're going to pay the $50 and watch in the paper.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
I don't know why he keeps laughing when I say that, but yes. Anyhow, we'll get out of your ears. You can get prepared for your turkey day and football day. And then we'll be back in yours to talk about more PFL tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Get in the Discord. I'm sure people will be chatting about PFL come Friday. So make sure and go in the Fat Guy food aisle in the Discord, and I'm sure there'll be lots of good pictures tomorrow of people's Thanksgiving spreads. So that would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. If you're a new person in the fight channel, say hi, let us know you're a new person and we shall welcome you. Twitter, the flaming dumpster fire that is Twitter. We're at SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that. I am at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. Gumby has a all PFL episode of the Top Turtle MMA podcast that just showed up in my feed overnight or this morning, right?
This morning. Yeah, this morning.
You want to tell the people what they can listen to on that?
Yeah, we've got interviews with Olivier Aubin-Mercier as he goes for $1 million and his opponent, Stevie Ray. So we got both of those on deck, and Shockwave will try his best to say some of the names of the people on this card.
Fine. You said Mercier, so I don't think if you live in a glass house, you shouldn't be throwing stones about pronunciation. It's Mercier. Mercier. It's like Cormier. All right, so make sure you listen to Top Turtle. Read all our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And you can read my additional MMA writings and whatnot at moneymma.substack.com. That is enough for now. We'll be back to you tomorrow in your ears. Until that time, I will remain Jeff Russo Fox. Gumby will remain Dangerous Gumby Vreeland, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye.